Sam is going to speak to us for a few minutes later, but actually what we thought we'd do, we thought we'd do a little bit of a mini interview. So I'm going to ask Sam some questions. So if you like, I was going to say I'm Jonathan Ross, but really I'm nothing like Jonathan Ross. So there's other chat show hosts which I'm nothing like either, because some of them haven't always got, they're not always
Norton.
The best.
You've got a bit of Norton going on.
Yeah, they're not always the best role models, are they? So I'm not going to try and liken myself to them. But I'm going to ask Sam a few questions this morning, I think you'll be interested to hear some of Sam's story. Of course, we've all got a story to tell, and so this morning, as I ask Sam some questions, you'll see how it makes sense for where we've been for the rest of the morning. Just want to allow God to speak to each one of us and encourage us this morning. That's our aim and that's our plan. So, Sam, yes. For those people around here who don't know who you are, why don't you just tell us very quickly a little bit about who you are and where you're from?
So I've grown up in this church. So I even went to Grapevine, which is a big thing with ground level. I was inside my mum's tummy. Mum's over there somewhere. Oh no, she's gone out. She's with the kids. I've grown up in this church, and it's been a great time. But the last 2.5 years, I've actually been living in Malawi, which is in Africa. And I've been managing a department there that does artificial limbs and splints and stuff.
And I know a number of people, your family and others, have been out to visit you. You've had some people, and I know we keep in contact. It's a funny old thing being the other side of the world, but with communications these days, Sam keeps very much connected to what we're doing and the things that are going on within church. And so, Sam, that's what you're doing now, but we wanted to rewind the story a little bit. So how many years are we going back to when you were sort of somewhere between the ages of 5 to 11, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it was quite small then.
Yes. Yes, quite small. It's one of those mornings when we do some rewinding and thinking back and looking back over periods of time, it makes me realise how old I am, because I remember the days when you were inside... as you just referred to
being my mummies.
Yes, yeah. So, but just rewind the clock a little bit. Go back to when you were much younger, and we'll just share a little bit of the story of how you ended up to be where you are today and doing the things that you are today. So, back to ages 5 to 11. What was happening? What were you thinking about? What was the
when I was around 5 or 6? I was always encouraged by people in the church, by my parents, and also just as kids things that were kind of focused on sort of traveling, going abroad, particularly Africa. I'm sure Lion King has done a lot to people. It did a lot to me at that age as well. I used to recite it as a kid to get myself to sleep sometimes and know it quite well. So just things like that, and you know, animals started to just get me focusing on the world out there. My dad went to China when I was younger as well. He smuggled Bibles into China, which was quite impressive. He survived as well, so that was good. And then also different sort of stories along the way that just started to focus on thinking, you know, What could I do with, you know, purposes and dreams? John is obviously, he's stood up and he said he's been to lots of places, and he was a very great encouragement. When I was, particularly in the youth sort of part of the church, I was just thinking, was it last week you were talking about the youth camp that's coming up? And I was really encouraged on a lot of youth camps, just people praying. But that's when I started to get this kind of thing about going to Africa, missionary kind of thing going on.
And I know you did, I know you, just before we move on to that, one of the things that I know you did, even as a real youngster, you started to kind of think, well, what can I do to make a difference? Mm. So you, just tell us, you did things.
Yeah, so I started off, I remember the first thing that I was encouraged to do, because we had a visitor from Peru called Raquel, some of you might remember her coming over.
That's a long,
very
long
inspiring
time
woman,
ago. Yeah.
But a very long time ago. And I thought, I'm going to raise some money for Raquel. And it was the season of growing rhubarb. And we had lots of rhubarb in our garden. So I thought, as a 5-6-year-old, I'm going to cut that down. We're going to sell it on the front. Got a little table. I've still got the red table, I think, somewhere, haven't we? Is it in the garage? Oh, we've got... Oh. But anyway, it was a good table, I have to say. It lasted long. We raised £1 and something, which was not a lot.
Which back in those days...
Yeah, it might have been quite
was worth...
£3. But I've even got a card of Raquel saying thank you for that. And, you know, to her it was, again, it was a very small gift, but just those little things of, you know, someone thanking, encouraging, really started to set things off. I remember doing a run, where's Jeff? Jeff Locke. Or, sorry, there's two Jeffs, they're both in the Rhine.
But
Jeff Locke,
like
I remember him doing a certificate after we'd done a run. We did a run for Africa for Tear Fund. And just people like that, they've encouraged things a long way, just simple things.
Yeah.
But it's part of the journey, I think, of where, you know, how I've got to where I am. So those kind of things.
And often we know that even if we don't feel like we have very much, God's doing something
exactly,
within us,
yeah,
which
yeah.
makes a difference. Okay, that's fantastic. So then you were starting to tell us about, as you were a little bit older, so sort mm-hmm. of teenage years, you started to feel that God was speaking to you more specifically about mm. things. So just tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so it started, as I say, very general thing, you know, where Africa is, that kind of thing. I started to be encouraged to pray specifically for countries as well. Each night I would look at I had big maps and globes and stuff and start praying. And Africa was always on my heart. And then one time, I think it was Cliff College we were at, God said very something specific. And I don't know where you're at your journey with God, whether God talks to you very specifically or through Bible, through other people. He does it lots of ways, and he does it specifically so that he talks to us because he's always talking. But I had this word of Gambia 6 years. And as a sort of 11, 12-year-old, I wasn't quite sure what, you know, that meant. It was a long time, you know, that was half my life, that length of time at that point. But I went to John, and he just said, just give it back, just plant it. Just give it back to God and let it grow and see what happens. Didn't really think of it, but it just started something growing, you know, and didn't really do much with it at that point. But then I remember when I was going into university, and at this point I was starting to look, say, where is these things pushing? And I kind of forgot that word, to be fair, but I was still sort of pushing and seeing where it was. And Links International were doing trips around the world to different places. And it was actually Matt that sent an email of these different trips. So, you know, if you're interested in going somewhere, try it. And one of them was to Gambia. And it was a week. I thought, week's quite a good start to 6 years. so I'll go for it. We set up to go. And then I remember a few weeks before we were praying before I was going. And we just sort of realized, we were like, when was this word given to you? I don't know if it was you or someone else that we were praying with, but we were like, when was this word? And we realized it was 6 years ago at the point we were going. And, you know, God, we don't understand sometimes what God puts on our hearts and things, but he's always working through. He's always faithful. And often we just need to just keep going with it.
Okay, brilliant. So one of the things I wanted to ask you was, I know in that time you saying that God spoke to you and you very clearly knew there was something to do with Gambia and there was something to do with this 6 years thing. Just to help people, and how did God speak to you? What was it? Was it something that somebody else said, or was it, you mentioned different ways that God speaks to us. Just wonder if you could just explain that so that...
I think other people. Definitely people speak just words of encouragement, but also prophetic words as well. So I know some people, when they came to Dwayne, there was prophetic words given. And I think those things, if we catch them and let them be planted, God does start to do things. And it's not the full picture. I don't think God always gives the full picture. Well, he never does, really, because it's about our journey with him. But I think that also through his words, I mean, times of prayer. I remember we had a big month of prayer quite a while back when Lucy and Neil were still here. And I remember God speaking specifically through that as people were praying into things. Spending time in God's word. And then just as you think, I think God's spirit gets in our head. He starts to think. As we focus on him, he starts to reveal things to us. those different ways.
Okay, so you've got this sense that God was saying something to you about Gambia. I know, obviously, you went on that trip to Gambia. That was the first time that you travelled that kind of distance?
Yeah, first time I'd gone that far. And as I say, it was just for a week. We didn't really do much. But again, it was the start of something.
And I know you were saying before, it was like a seed was planted and that whole image of something growing. So God started something in you that then grew. Okay, so just moving forward a little bit further then, you went off to study. You came back from Gambia, obviously. You went off to do some study and stuff, that kind of thing. Just fill us in on that little part of the journey then as well. What happened there and how did that bring you up to where we are today?
So, as I said, I'm in a department in a hospital at the moment. I'm a physiotherapist, so I trained to be a physio at Nottingham. And one of these things as well, I was hungering and saying, God, how do you want to use the skills that we have, or I have, to go into these things that you know, these dreams and visions? And I do remember we'd gone swimming, and it was a really, again, talking about when God speaks to you at any time. And it was just after swimming, and I sat down. I was like, God, why am I doing physio? What's in this? I know it's, you know, it's going to be great, I'm going to be helping people, but how does it fit in? And I just felt God say, you're helping people not only to walk physically, but also spiritually. And then he just said, look at your last name. I thought, oh yeah, I suppose Walker, it kind of fits. Those kind of things just started to sort of point towards that. And then there was also a picture that came with that as well of Africans, or, you know, people that had lost their limbs. And at that point, I thought, maybe there's something in this. So there's an area of physio which works with amputees. So from that, I started to get a hunger to go, right, let's see how that goes. Let's push these doors. A lot of doors were closed, you know, but I kept sort of going on with it and seeing what God wanted to do with it. Wasn't sure where it was going to go.
So you carried on with your study, your training, basically, and you got your qualifications, all that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, passed.
Yeah, you just passed. Excellent. Which put you in a great place. You then started work at King's Mill.
Yep. So I started work at King's Mill in 2008. It was a quite a funny time getting the job, because it was I'd felt again called to go to Africa. And just before the job, I thought, this is really what God wants me to do, set some time and go. So I set some time, like 10 weeks, to go to Tanzania to volunteer as a physio. And it was just before this interview. So at the end of the interview went really well. And they said, so have you got any time off, like planned holidays? And I went, yeah, it's kind of 10 weeks to Tanzania.
So
this is in the interview.
For the job in the hospital locally.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So I thought, right, bang, shot myself in the foot. Not going to get this job. So a few days later, amazingly, they went, so come for 5 weeks, then you can go for 10. We'll give you 2 weeks off as well, because you'll obviously have to readjust to when you come back. I'm like, what? Okay. Yes, I'll say yes to that, and then carry on working there. And they, you know, they, I think they caught something as well. Of, you know, I don't know, vision or something, and just God's blessing. And
they must have either liked you an awful lot.
Or, I don't know.
Or God had got his plans and,
exactly,
and
yeah,
he was working things out.
Yeah,
or both.
I think, both, maybe. Hope so.
Okay, so you went off to Tanzania, which is another stepping stone, another part of the journey. And I know when you've talked to me about it, I mean, it's quite a specific thing. The whole amputees thing and working with people very specifically about that. But that was something that you prayed, but you also did some practical stuff to put things in place into your life to respond to the things that God is saying. And, you know, I think that's really, really wise, and it's really, you know, just credit to you, Sam, for taking those sensible steps along your journey. So then just bring us right up to speed with where we're at right now.
And I'll just quickly say on that point as well that, you know, it doesn't happen straight away. You know, sometimes God gives us things that, like, we have to bury, we have to plant, we have to grow. And there was lots of disappointment along the way. You know, I'd gone for lots of interviews, I think 3 interviews that had said no. to an amputee job and field, and still felt that was what God had called me to. But then, yeah, going on to this, where I am now, which is working with 500 Miles that actually specifically do amputee stuff, was again just a random email came through. I remember I was sat on the sofa, housemate was there, and I just said, "Fred, I think this is the perfect job. This is Africa and amputees all together." And as I was saying, I just got through by the grace of God with my university, because I'm very last minute. I do everything last minute. I mean, some of my best friends will know that I'm quite late for things as well. Perfect for Africa. Yeah, definitely. Very laid back. So probably that's why God sent me there. But the actual, what I'm trying to get to is that, I'd kind of had an interview the week before, which I hadn't got, but all my stuff was ready. So I literally was like, right, bang, put it on, straight, send. And she said, yeah, you were the first one that got back to me. I'd like to meet you in York. Had a conversation with the CEO, and she was like, yeah, sounds all right, let's go with you. So, what does that mean? 3 months, you're going to Malawi. So, okay.
So it all happened pretty quick.
It all happened pretty fast, yeah. And yeah, I had to tell parents and friends, and like, I'm off.
Fantastic. And now you've been out there 2.5 years, as you say. You've seen some of the things which I guess were in your thinking. You would describe them as a bit of a dream. It was a bit of a God dream. It was a kind of something that was in your mind, but also in more than just your mind, it's part of something that God had planted within you, to use that analogy. So the last 2.5 years, you know, some people in here will know some of the stories, some people won't. Just, I know you've been really busy, working hard. Just tell us, just very quickly, some of the things that you've been doing while you've been there the last 2.5 years.
Just very briefly, it's a managing position, which again, I didn't feel prepared for. I'd not done really any managing stuff before. And it's to do with prosthetics and orthotics. So it's people that have lost their limbs or have a physical disability, which they need a supportive device to help, so like a splint or a brace. Again, something that I've not really had a lot of focus actually involved with making, because that's what we do there. We actually make them. I don't make them. The staff make them. And they're trained, they're Malawian trained staff, and they actually make all the devices on site. So I was there to actually set that up. Again, a massive, I went there and they'd not even finished the building, again going back to the African time. It was meant to be finished before I got there. It was 3 months afterwards. So I was going around trying to figure out how this building was meant to be put together and make sure it was done right and reporting back, which was all new territory. But now we're at a position where we've had 700 people come through, which is amazing in the short time that we've started. We're trying to reach out to those that are really in the villages and in the places where it's not heard of, the service is not heard of, but it's needed. There's lots of problems of nutrition, which causes lots of children to have deformities when they're born, and there's not the healthcare to actually help those things along. So, it's a real, on my heart, is to see those people, just to know the service, but also to be encouraged. There's a lot of stigma around disability. Often you're seen as cursed, or your family's as cursed. I'll go into it later when we have a bit more of a talk. But just seeing that broken, in people's lives is where my heart's at, and I'm looking forward to another year when I go back. So,
fantastic. And one of the things I know you said to me, as well as just hearing some of those stories of physical lives that are impacted and changed, most of us can't imagine, you know, some of the ways that you're able to help people, which is fantastic. I know that you said to me that one of the things that it was, as well as helping people physically to be able to walk and to do things that they otherwise couldn't do, particularly walking, that actually you felt that God was also putting you there with the purpose of helping people with their spiritual walk as well, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So getting involved with the church, it's been a blessing to see that the people that have come on board and have been really helping with the actual service have been Christians and pastors. So there's a pastor there that was linked through Links International that I got to know, and he now does our sensitization to outreach program, and he's brilliant. He's perfect for it because he's got the pastor, he's very Pentecostal, So he says, right, today I'm preaching 500 miles, which is the organization, you know. But he knows that actually, you know, it's on his heart to reach out to those people that, you know, have got a problem that can be helped with. So yeah, that's really fantastic to see the two kind of merging together. And again, it's God. I'm there. I'm just going, okay, just, yeah, you do that. That's great. You know.
Yeah.
So it's amazing how, yeah, God, it is about him and him building it.
Sure.
And using the gifts and things that we've got.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Well, I don't know about you, but I wanted to share some of Sam's story this morning for a number of reasons, but principally to encourage us. Because there's some of us in this room who are perhaps waiting for God to drop some kind of dream, might be very small. And of course, some of the dreams that God gives us, some of the ideas, some of the thoughts that God plants in our lives are not necessarily going to take us all the way around the world. And some of them will be very local, some of them will be very specific. But there's something about it when God speaks to us that we know that it's God, and that we can put things in place to respond and to obey him. And actually, that's the best possible place we can be. You know, if God had said to many of us in this room, Gambia, Malawi, prosthetics, it wouldn't have really worked that well, would it? Certainly, if it had said that to me, or many of us. But actually, God's got a plan for our lives. And I wanted to encourage you this morning, however young or old, to firstly listen to what God is saying to us. If God has spoken to you, and like Sam, it's years and years before that God spoke that actually these things started to happen, then still be encouraged. And there's a bunch of people, when Sam talked to me about this, he can plot people also in this room who supported him, encouraged him, who helped him, you know, challenged you with some of the tough questions, asked you some of the things, you could bounce stuff off people. And actually, I want to encourage you this morning as well, because there's many people in this room who have supported alongside Sam. And actually, hearing his story is a testimony to the fact that as church, we're family, we work together, we grow together, we strengthen one another, and we help each other along the journey and to make the wise choices that God has put in front of us. So, do you feel encouraged this morning? Yeah? And when Sam and I were talking, other things started to crop up as well. And we were talking about the fact that God wanted to strengthen us in different ways. And Sam just shared with me a couple of things that I'm going to ask him now to share with you in these next moments. But why don't we, just before he does that, why don't we stand up for a moment, realise that we've been sat down for a moment or two. Have a little stretch, a little wriggle wiggle if you need to do that. Father, I thank you that you speak to us, Lord. I thank you that you have plans for us. They're good plans. And actually, when we can align ourselves with your plans for our own individual lives, not only do we find tremendous fulfillment in our calling and in our obedience, but actually we recognize that we play a part in your bigger picture. We talked about the world this morning, Lord, and it's amazing to us that you can speak to us and lives can be changed other places in your world. As we not only pray, but as we physically move geographically, that your kingdom comes and your plans and your purposes are extended throughout our world. And I pray this morning, Lord, my prayer is that by your Holy Spirit that you would encourage us. So thank you that you're speaking to us. Thank you that you're at the center of our lives. It's not something that we need to get all hung up about, actually, but we actually just rest and relax in who we are in you. Then as you speak to us, we choose to align ourselves and find the plans and purposes that you have for us. And this room today is full of the stories of lives changed because of the things that we have done to be obedient to you. Some of them are very far away, spread across the world. Some of them are local, right next door and right up our street. For all these things, Lord, we give you thanks. It's your world, you love it, and we want to partner with you. Amen.
Yeah, yeah, take your seats. Yeah, I just actually want to start with there's been a bit of keep it simple, keep it simple, keep it simple. And just before I go on to what I've prepared, just very briefly to talk about, it is simple. We are walking with Jesus, and he is walking with us. It is a journey. It's an individual journey, but it's also a corporate journey as well, that we're doing it together. And it's such a blessing to be part of a family that's not only here, but also I can say that's in Malawi as well, and the other places has been, like Albania, that we are linked together. We are a big family, and yeah, but we're all walking. We've got our own routes, you know. God's going to take us on our own journeys, and it's all important. It's all important walks. So just to start off with, if we could, if you've got your Bibles, if you turn to Psalms 84, we're going to start from verse 5 to verse 7. It'll come up on the screens if, yeah. So just very quickly, we're going to go from verse 5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Go from strength to strength. So, yeah, I just wanted to say that I love journeys. I love traveling. You can probably tell I've got the bug of going to different countries and traveling. And just simply, I mean, it's not just across the world, but, you know, when you get, you pack your things and you get ready to go somewhere, it's quite exciting. And I love the epic stories and journeys that you hear about and you read about. One of the recent ones, if you just bring up that next slide, does anyone recognize this hairy guy? Recently he's been on telly. Anyone remember his name or explorer? Yeah? Liverson Woods, yes. An explorer, quite a young explorer. I think he's in his early 30s. But he's done quite a lot. And the recent one he's done, he's been walking the Nile. Okay, so we're just bringing the next up. He's been walking. Okay, he's not been flying. He's not been driving in a car. He's not been on a donkey. He's been walking, and it's 4,250 miles. That's a long way. That's a long way. You know, he's been through deserts. He's been through marshes. He's been through war zones. Probably not the safest way to do it. Just with your two legs. But, yeah, there's a really funny bit where there's a, well, not funny, quite dangerous bit with a crocodile that suddenly jumps out. I don't know if you remember that bit. And the guides that he's got, the African guides, are just like really close, just like, oh, it's a crocodile. And he's like, whoa! And, yeah, you just can see, yeah, the other guys are quite used to it. He's not actually gonna attack him. But it makes good telly. But, you know, he went through wandering times where he got lost. And there's a very sad bit when actually one of his travellers that's with him passes away because of heat stroke. And we go through these times with our journeys. And I really do think that it's important to focus on the destination. He wanted to get to the Mediterranean. You know, that was his destination. It wasn't very pretty when he actually got there. It was like an army barracks or something. So the actual end of the journey wasn't brilliant. But it was the actual going through it. Was strengthened as he went through. He talks about all these blisters that he got that built up just as he kept walking, which you can imagine was quite painful, but also had built up over the time. So the first thing I just want to say is that we need to keep moving. We need to keep moving. In our journey with God, that first verse was a heart set on pilgrimage. And I believe God has called us to have that heart that's set on moving with him. Where are you going? Where are you going? Lead me, Lord. Teach me. Strengthen me as I go. I had the privilege of going with some of our friends around Europe. And one of our destination thing was to get to Luxembourg to buy a pint of milk, which was quite random. And we never actually did it, did we? We kind of set off with that, but we never did it. But we've got so many stories and adventures and experiences along the way, which is what we talk about. We don't talk about the actual, you know, actual destination to get in the milk, but we've done that and we've strengthened through that. Our friendships have been strengthened along the way. So my first point is, we've got to keep moving. Moving with the passions, the desires, the skills that God's given us, but moving with Him, moving together with Him. As a physio, I often have to get people moving when they don't want to. And one of the key things that we are taught as physios is that it's very important that after something that has happened, that we start to get them gently moving right away. Much to the annoyance of people on the ward when they see us with the blue and they go, "Oh no, you want me to get out of bed, don't you? No, not today." And so encouraging someone to do that is quite hard, but also knowing that actually as they start, it will get better after that first little bit. And as we get the momentum, we become strong. And it's so amazing to see people that are sitting in bed and say, "I can't do that. I can't walk. You're asking me to walk to there." Like, and I say, "Right, at the end of the week, we're going to do it." And it's such a privilege to be there when they've done it. And they go, "Wow, we're there. We actually made it to that bit." But it's because they got stronger as they went on. They had to start doing the exercises in bed. Then they got to the edge of the bed. "Right, that's it today. Tomorrow, let's stand." So as we start moving, we become stronger as we go. And we see that in sport as well. Got the next picture. Anyone recognize this guy? And his gun. Look at that. Is it 1-1? Oh. So we're cheering Murray on today. Hopefully he'll bring his third Grand Slam back to Britain. But yeah, just like training, any training. I just want to do an example with this. I need someone that's maybe got a gun like that. Is there anyone here that's... Tom? Tom? Yeah? Tom, I just like... you know, you like exercise occasionally, don't you? I have to say. Quite a lot sometimes, yeah? You into your rugby? Is that right?
I've not been playing for a while, so a bad finger, but...
Okay. Yeah. I just like, just as an example, I would like you to do some exercise. We're gonna get you to do exercise. I think if everyone else could stand up as well, we'll just get warmed up a little bit, and then I'll set you off on the exercise. So let's just get these shoulders moving. We're gonna do a bit of shoulder exercises. Okay, just rolling them back. That's nice. Okay, let's just get the arms out a little bit. You know, to give you if you've got room. That's it. Okay. Okay, and just bring them backwards and forwards as well. Nice. Yeah, it's good. Okay, great. Is everyone feeling a bit warm now? Are you feeling warm? Because you're going to do the next bits on your own. Yeah, okay. Very warm. Looking quite red as well. Yeah. Okay, just sit, everyone else, you can sit down. Right, so this exercise, I'm going to have to take the mic off, right? It's quite appropriate with the tennis as well.
That's all right.
20. Okay, you're counting? Make sure... Lily, can you count as well? Yeah. Just maybe lose count a bit. Keep going. No, 20 up and down. Yeah, keep going. So, training is very important, okay? You have to be gradual with it, okay? But you also have to keep doing it. And you're doing it very well, I have to say, Tom. are we nearly there? That's good. So, our muscle, our body... Great. Thank you very much. Give him a clap. That's great. Thanks, Tom. So, with strengthening, okay, how do your shoulders feel now a little bit? Okay, how do your shoulders feel? All right, a little bit of an ache? You can say a little bit, yeah? I'd like you to say a little bit, if that's all right. You're probably not. Okay, yeah, that's great. So, a little bit of an ache. And often when we're doing exercise, we do feel that bit of an ache, don't we? If we've done something, we've gone for a run, there's a bit of a... Oh, but you also go, "Oh, that feels quite good as well." But there's a little bit of a pain, there's a little bit of an ache. And my next point comes from the next verse, which is verse 6, where it says, "As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make the places of springs, autumn rains also cover it in pools." Now, the Valley of Baca, just I looked into what that means. And it means the Valley of Tears, the Valley of Weeping. I thought it was quite interesting that that's mentioned along this journey, along this pilgrimage, that actually is the Valley of Weeping that these pilgrims are going through. So it's talking physically about the pilgrims, but also, I think, metaphorically about our journey with God. That there is times of weeping. There is times of pain. There's times of that ache. But in that ache, we can see that we're being strengthened. We can see that we are being molded. And I just want to encourage that there is that time of refreshment and that time of strengthening if you're going through that time. I shared a little bit that through my journey where I am today, there was times where I was like, God, what's happening? I keep pushing this door, but it's not happening. And, you know, the supervisors are after me, are pushing me down, and I'm getting discouraged. And, you know, there was times of tears and there was times of pain. But now I look and say, He used that. He used that amazingly. He used that time. He used that experience along the journey and being strengthened. Just before I came back from Malawi, we had some sad things that actually happened. And there was a sister of the family I stay with, Mary. She passed away. Some of you will see from the emails. And it was a hard time. It was a shocking time because she was only 22. But what I want to just bring out of that, I don't want to dwell too much on it, but in the sense of God's provision through that time, and that also that his pause, his refreshment was actually there. I remember my friend, the week before it happened, he was staying in the house together, a good friend called Luce. He said, I feel I don't want to go back to my family this week. I'm going to stay another week. And at the time, I thought, that's great. You know, it's great to have you. Just spend your time. It's fine. And he was such a refreshment for that week, for me personally at that time of loss, but also for the family there as well. He was able to be there to, you know, to do this transport. There was a bit where I just broke down. I couldn't take it. And he said, mate, it's all right. I'm going to drive for you today. And then he also did some of the work as well. He went out and drove my staff, which had already been organized on the day of the funeral, because things happen very fast. So that leads on to my final third point, that we need each other. It says in that last bit, they went from strength to strength. Will you just bring it up again? They went from strength. They went from strength to strength. We need each other to encourage us in those times of the Valley of Baca, in those times of weeping. To get us through, but also to keep moving. We need each other to help us to keep moving. I know that there's been a Valley of Baca in the last year here. And, you know, we can see that there's still been strengthening that's gone on. There's still that legacy that's pushing us on, going. And, you know, we know Graham's saying, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. So, I'm going to leave it there, but if someone could just come up to maybe just play a bit. David, yeah. I just want to share one story of someone's journey that's really impacted me while I've been there, and it's been linked with the work is, but it also brings out this thing of that we're in it together. We're in it together. If you just go to, yeah, lovely smile. This is Susan Bander. She's 19 years old now. When she was born with crippled, deformed limbs. Okay, she couldn't stand, she couldn't walk, she crawled on her hands and knees. Her first father, or her biological father, rejected her, said, you're not one of mine. Okay, and her mother didn't want that, but because of the culture she had to respect, that's what the husband had said. But she actually split from that, and she went with another guy, and Susan was back into the family with the new father. But as they had children, they had, well, children that weren't crippled. And again, that father said, no, she's not one of mine. So she was rejected again. And at the point, at that point, her grandmother took her in, who was also quite elderly, struggling. And it was at that point that a couple called Sydney and Gertrude saw that this was struggling, saw that she was struggling, and that also there was a brightness about her that they wanted to bring it into their own family. So they adopted Susan. They're a Malawian family. They adopted. They'd still got, I think they've got like 6-8 kids, but they took her on as well. And they've got a great heart for the community. And while she was with them, they talked to surgeons and things of, what is there anything we can do? So when she was 16, 15, she had her legs amputated, so the bits that was crippled was taken off. And then she came to one of the centres in the long way, the first centres, and she got her amputated, artificial limbs. And now she's on fire. She's on fire. She was always on fire. As you can see from that smile. But she's going, she's moving, and she's going to move places. She now wants to do something with nursing to actually help people that were in the same position as her. And her mom, what really got to me was her mom said to her when she was still at that stage where she'd not had the amputation, one day God's going to give you your legs. And she obviously held that. She didn't know where it was going to come from. You know, our service was not really there for that time and point. But, you know, God had a plan. God had a plan for her. But the great thing was that those parents were there to encourage her. When she felt rejected, okay, when she was dealing with that, particularly at school still as well, you know, it wasn't an easy journey, but they were with. So my last point is that we need to be that family to encourage each other. And I'm so blessed that people have encouraged me on my journey. And I just want to encourage you this morning, wherever you're at, that we need to strengthen, we can strengthen each other, and that God has got amazing plans and visions for us. So, if we just stand and let's pray together. Yeah, I feel people, there's some people in here that are thinking, Sam, that's great. You've shared your story, and we can see that God's given those specific things. I don't think I've got a specific thing. And as Matt rightly said, there's different things for every person. But I believe today, and also already, God started to give people specific dreams and visions for the people in their community, for people in, you know, politics, for people in areas of work, for teachers. There's dreams, there's visions that God gives us that we have to hold out and we have to run with. We have to keep moving with. Maybe there's some old visions and dreams that people have got. But maybe you've just left and you've kind of left and you've lied down on. I believe God says, let's wake up, let's get up. Get up. Get up with that dream. Get up. Take hold of it. Because when it's from God, it's true. When it comes from God, it's a promise. And He always keeps His promises. He's faithful. So Lord, I just want to pray, Lord. And if you want to just respond to this, put your hands up. Just invite God to say, Lord, give me, encourage me what I need. Give me a fresh vision. Lord, I just pray on this place, Lord. I thank you so much for the encouragement that this family has given to each one here, Lord. And over the years, even if you're new, there's a place for you here in God's family. And Lord, I thank you that you're the Father who gives us hope, who gives us direction. But Lord, I thank you firstly, though, that you are beside us and you encourage us to say, keep it simple. Let's just walk together. Let's just walk together. Don't try and figure it all out. I love the simplicity of just saying, come, follow me. So I just pray that you would strengthen us all right now. In your spirit, Lord, you just strengthen us. Strengthen us together, strengthen us individually. But also send us out in a direction, Lord. A direction with you. Here, we just thank you for your hope. We thank you for your truth. At the same time, I want to pray for encourage people. If you're going through that valley of the Baca right now, I just pray, Holy Spirit, you would encourage. You would bring your refreshment. You would bring those pools. You would bring those autumn rains right now. It's okay to keep moving in that valley of the Baca. In the valley of tears, it's okay to keep moving. It's okay to keep planting. Yes, Jesus, just encourage us.